Well, here's some breaking news on that apparent serial killer in the Detroit area. Detroit police apparently have taken a man into custody now in connection with an investigation into this possible serial killer. The man was taken into custody at a bus stop Friday night. Police have not said why the man is a person of interest yet. The investigation stems from the deaths of three women that appear to be connected. So another strange story there. We shall be back in a moment with more of your open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let's go right back to the calls. Michael in Greensboro, North Carolina, has been on hold for a while. Hi, Michael.
Oh, hi, George. First off, I wanted to give my condolences for the passing of Stan Freeman.
Thank you.
I've gotten to speak to him very briefly at the end of the show there in Columbus, and I'm glad I got the brief chance to meet him and talk to him. So,
what a great guy. He will be missed.
Absolutely, yeah. That was truly a shock. anyway, I wanted to ask you, and the guest last night was talking about the different generations and so forth. You grew up during the 1960s, so what was that like? I'm too young. I wasn't around then, please, yeah.
Well, it was kind of tumultuous, to tell you the truth. I mean, racial segregation was rampant. Later on, we had the Vietnam War in the 70s. It was a very tough, trying time. I was in Detroit during the riots. It was, we had John F. Kennedy killed, and his brother Bobby was killed, and Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. Those were tough times. They really were.
I basically grew up in the 1990s, and that was just completely, totally different from the 60s and even today. The youth, it's just a completely different environment from what the baby boomers were growing up in.
Yeah, we went through some different times that, we had some great times, the landing on the moon and things like that, but we also had these very rough, difficult time periods in our lives. And sure. Okay, hey, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Christopher, it's your turn. Hey there.
Hey there, George. How you doing tonight?
Okay. How about you?
Good. So first I want to speak about a small, unusual happening that happened about a month ago, and then I want to give you an update on my dealings with my succubus.
Okay.
So about a month ago, it was about the time near my finals, second year of college, and I was driving home to, for the day to study for my next day finals, and I was going on the way home, so I was going near a street light, this random dog just ran out in front of my car, so I, of course, stopped right before, a few feet before, and he looked at me for some time, and then he just walked right past my car, and as I turned to look, I didn't see the dog anymore. And some people who were behind me also looking around trying to find that same dog.
Jeez, but he got away okay.
So far, yes, but to me, this is right now, I'm just thinking why did that dog jump in front of my car, and look at me, and then just walk past my car, and then when I turned, I didn't see him anymore.
What kind of dog was it?
I'm not much of a dog person, so don't really know.
Okay.
I caught it mostly on my dash cam, so I may have to look at it and see,
How close did you come to hitting it?
Oh, I was going around 35, so I was about maybe 50 feet away, I guess. I could see it from where I was, where I stopped. I could see the dog itself. It looked at me. It was panting.
Yeah.
It had its tongue out, and it just walked past my car.
Yeah, how dare you almost hit me?
But so now I want to move to my succubus story. So some things I wanted to further on about that. Years ago, when I was still trying to get used to Crystal was living inside me, My friend, who was teaching about witchcraft, you know, knew it, that she was a demon, and she gave me this small little pendant that had a pentagram on it, and I'm thinking, oh, this isn't going to be good. And when I put it on, like, I just didn't remember a thing. And so,
why did you wear it?
It was a gift that my friend gave me, so
all right,
you know, I wanted to, like, try it on. I didn't want to be rude to her, and I think I never wanted to wear it. But for a few minutes of that time, it was like during lunchtime, I didn't, like, know what was happening, but evidently Chrysalis came out, and she was, like, totally different. She was, like, a lot more, like, menacing as what they told me, you know, and a lot more, you know, a lot more abnormal than what she is. So, like I said before, she's a lot more calm, but...
This is the succubus?
Yes, that's all about Chrysalis.
Do you still have this with you?
Yes. Yes, she's still around.
But you don't, if I remember, you don't really want to get rid of her.
No. I mean, like I said before, she helped me out at times, and...
Well, that's the key phrase, at times. What about the other times?
She is mostly dormant.
That's an interesting. For a lot of people who don't know, these are entities that can possess you. And, well, Christopher has one and has had one for years and years and years and has not really hurt him. But it's out there. It's around. Annie in Alabama, welcome to the show. Annie, go for it.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
I'd like to talk about colony collapse disorder with the bees. We're losing so many bees.
Yes, we are.
The majority of the bees. People should respect the bee because the bee's got enough sense to communicate with you, and he's a good citizen if you'll just give him half a chance. If you see a bee close to you, just be real still and give him a chance to fly away. And also, we should respect the wasp, because he's also a pollinator. And with a shortage of bees, my aunt depended on the wasp to pollinate her apple orchard. And I've always been respectful toward the wasp also and other insects and birds that are pollinators.
Just don't get stung by a wasp, that's all, huh?
Just leave him alone and be still. And I had one fly right over my head a few inches. And somebody told me there's a wasp buzzing right over your head. And I was just real still. And he flew away, and there was no problem.
You were lucky. Sometimes they will attack some people. You know that.
I know they will, but I've been stung a couple of times when I was a kid, and I didn't know how to interact with a wasp. But now that I've learned how to interact with a wasp, they don't sting me anymore. I try to be as nice to them as I can because I know they create apples.
What do you think is causing the colony disorder? I think it's herbicides.
The Roundup is part of it, and yep, they need a massive lawsuit against Monsanto. Every farmer needs to band together and sue Monsanto for every single thing that has gone wrong since they've started using the glyphosate.
Well, they're getting sued. They're getting sued by people, Annie, and they're losing billions of dollars. Tom, what's our next text or tweet?
Okay, this one from Carrick in Lubbock, Texas.
I like these. How long have we been doing this now?
A long time.
4 years?
4 or 5 years.
Something like that. I like
not
that.
As long as emerging artists.
By the way, a lot of people, I do get emails from people who say, I sent you a text, George. You have the phone. I don't.
Right.
And you use it only during the show, so you don't get them afterwards, right?
No, and the problem is that so many come in that sometimes I can't catch them.
I remember once we turned the volume up on that phone, and they wouldn't stop.
They're ding, ding, that's what happens.
Bing, bing.
When I turn it on again, just keeps going.
Keeps going. Anyways, what do we have?
Carrick in Lubbock, Texas. It's kind of, what would you pick as your last meal?
Let me ask you one question, though.
Okay.
What rock star was from Lubbock, Texas?
From Lubbock, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Billy G. It was Lubbock. I don't know. Who?
Died in a plane crash.
Stevie Ray?
Nope. Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So what would I want as my last meal?
Yeah.
I mean, am I like in bed dying? Where am I?
Well, I don't really get particulars here, but I would imagine that you're, you know, going to go pretty soon.
I don't think I'd want to eat anything.
So, okay, suppose it's a firing squad. What would you eat?
Bullets.
You really wouldn't eat anything?
No.
That would be your last pleasure on Earth.
I'm before a firing squad, and I have to think about eating?
Any way you're going.
Come on. You're not. Look, when you're faced death like that, you're not going to think about eating. I mean, if you're in a hospital and you're withering away and you're going to die, you're going to think about food.
That's where they come up with people's last meals.
No, that is for people who are being executed.
Okay, if you were being executed.
No, I'm not going to be executed. What kind of a text and tweet is that?
Ask Carrick. I don't know.
If I was being executed, what would my last meal be? Twinkies. I don't know. Bill in Hastings, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't see why Trump just doesn't tell the Russians that if they come within 1 mile from one of our warships, we're just going to blow them out of the water.
Well, because they have nukes, Bill, and God knows what could happen.
They really want to blow everything up. You know, if they want to start World War III, what are we going to do, just cower and let them make a fool out of us?
No, I don't like the fact that they're teaming up with China, though.
Well, we might just have to fight both of them at once, then.
We need to be friendly with everybody. We got to work this out.
Yeah, but they're making us look like idiots in front of the world.
Well, they're being very aggressive in certain things, but I don't think blowing them up is going to solve anything. If anything, it's going to create a bigger problem, don't you?
Well, we just need to sink that one ship, and maybe they'll back up.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, we've even had planes, Russian planes, that get too close to our planes. You can't shoot them out. No. That would create, I think, a very bad conflict if that happened. Next up, let's go to Bob in Ventura, California. Hello there, Robert. Welcome to the show.
George, good to talk to you. It's been a few years.
Wow, that long, huh?
Yeah, just life got in the way somehow. I don't know. And I still catch your show, you know, periodically. But,
Lord, thank you.
I was going to have a comment and maybe a question.
Okay.
Your listeners called in talking about diseases of the brain, like Alzheimer's and such. And one of the best shows I ever listened to on your show was with Ty Bollinger.
Yes. Cancer Step Outside the Box. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And his film was that one book with the million word title, The Monumental Myths of the Medical Industry and the Lying Liars and all that. But his, the best thing I got out of it was antioxidants, especially the number one, most important one, is the glutathione and its effect on cleaning all the toxins out of your body, every organ, and most especially was the effect it has in your brain. Did his wife die from Parkinson's complications?
I don't think so.
I don't know if that was him or another caller who also was talking about glutathione, but...
if anything, anyway. I think he used his techniques to help her.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's been shown from research that glutathione not only can stop Parkinson's and other diseases, it can reverse them, which, of course, doctors will tell you
that's
impossible.
Fantastic. That's right.
But if you take the most potent form that you can find, which you have to order from the manufacturer, it's kind of a mouthful. It's liposomal glutathione, which all that means is microencapsulated.
And I guess that's a pharmaceutical grade.
No, it's you can buy it without a prescription. It's but you have to buy it from the manufacturer because it has to be refrigerated. So they don't sell it in stores.
Okay.
Most of the stores only sell the next best version of it, which is the What the hell is it?
And they're what?
Sublingual, which is under your tongue. Membrane.
Like a little pill or something?
Yeah, under your tongue, you have a very thin membrane, and so the sublingual version of it will be, it'll be more able to get into your system. If you just take the most common pill form, it doesn't make it through your stomach's acids, and it gets destroyed in your stomach. It's basically useless.
Okay, it doesn't do anything for you.
Not a thing. But actually, the main reason I wanted to call is I was curious about the state of MUFON today, because I used to be heavily involved in it back in the late 90s, and I was actually the audio-video director of the Ventura Santa Barbara MUFON in the late 90s, and as you know, that was the time when Roger Lear was the director.
I missed that guy.
Yeah, podiatrist.
MUFON's still out there as a national organization. I think some of the chapters have kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah, because that chapter is gone. I was in the L.A. chapter, I don't believe, is active anymore that I'm aware of.
It's more of a national thing now.
I don't know if maybe the fact that there's so much more information out now about the subject, such as all these alien, television shows on every Friday night, marathons and such, and people have more of a feel of the subject. And because before, back in the late 90s, it was not much out there, and people, I think, were really scrambling for information.
The technology has changed everything, hasn't it?
It certainly has, but I certainly do appreciate the chance to work with that particular chapter, because I met kind of a who's who in the field.
That's right.
Well, Roger obviously knew just about everybody. So in a year's time, I got to meet and have dinner with people like,
Jacques Vallée. Did you ever meet him?
No, I did. Did not meet him, but... Travis Walton was one of my
favorites. Oh, he's great. Travis is just a super guy.
Very mild-mannered person, extremely sincere, believable person. Well, probably one of the most popular people we had there.
Travis is going to be one of our weekend guests, by the way.
Yeah, well, that would be an awesome one to listen to. But there was other people, some of them early in their careers. John Greenwald was a very young man.
Mm-hmm. He still is.
Yeah, well, by comparison to me, for sure. But Whitley Strieber, had dinner with him, talked to him, another fact.
What about John Mack, the late psychiatrist?
I was not a part of the board at that time, but I did see him, I think, in L.A., along with Bud Hopkins was down there.
Oh, yeah, great alien abduction people.
Yeah, I met him. Probably one of my favorite, though, is someone, unfortunately, you talked about earlier, who did pass away. And that would, of course, be the great Stanton Friedman.
Yeah, he was one of a kind.
Fascinating person to have dinner with.
You know what's so ironic? He was my very first radio interview back in 1971.
Wow.
And I ended up being his last interviewer before he died.
Wow.
How weird.
That is, that's amazing.
But, one of a kind.
All these people I met were so down to earth. And
they're all great people. I liked them all.
Yeah, there's only one person who I ever had any kind of problems with, and that was Eric Von Daniken.
Oh, I think the world of Eric. I was just with him this
weekend. He's a great guy, but he was extremely demanding.
Oh, he's tough. He's a tough guy. I mean, make no mistake about that.
He had that, he's from, was that Austria, I believe?
He's a tough guy, but his book, Chariot of the Gods, one of those classics. We're going to come back with a special guest for you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, so just keep your dial exactly where it is. Marianne Winkowski is the Ghost Whisperer, and we've talked to her about a lot of things, including what do ghosts do on the other side. And welcome back to Coast. Marianne Winkowski has met with hundreds of earthbound spirits. Marianne uses her special releasing talents on spirits attached to people, places, and things. The information that Marianne gets from the spirits has been historically verified in case after case. Experts like the FBI claim that she is the real deal. Marianne lectures, of course, at standing room only crowds. James von Prague was on with us just a few days ago, mentions her quite often, and she's back on Coast to Coast for a couple hours tonight. Marianne, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Good. So do they eat on the other side?
They do not.
They don't eat.
They do not.
But they've got good recipes.
They sure do.
Tell me about this.
It started maybe 30 years ago. I did a house, and the lady, it was a lady that lived by herself, an older woman, and I go into the house, and the house smelled really, really good. It was around Thanksgiving and Christmas, and here there were these nut rolls that she had just taken out of the oven on the sink. And so we sit down in her dining room, and they smelled really good, but I have to be really honest, they weren't very pretty nut rolls. They weren't really appealing, eye appealing. So we're sitting in the dining room, and I'm talking to her and telling her about the lady ghost that's there. And I said, I told her again how good her nut rolls smell. And this ghost says, well, they may smell good, but they are terrible. She makes a horrible nut roll. And, it's a good thing I don't hear this out loud. So we're talking. Before the woman left, the ghost left, she said, you know what? She said, get a pencil and paper, write down my nut roll recipe. It's way better than hers. So I wrote it down. And now I'm thinking to myself as I'm writing this down, how am I going to tell this poor woman that her nut roll is lousy?
That's funny.
And so one thing led to another, and the lady, I said, oh, she was so happy that you had me come out to release her that she gave you her very special nut roll recipe, if you want it. And the lady wanted it, and over the years, I just collected all of these, and one thing led to another, and somebody approached me and said, well, how about doing a recipe book? So there's 100 recipes, all from ghosts, and there's 100 stories to go with each one.
Is there anything weird about any of these recipes?
Like devil's food cake?
Yeah, who passed that one along, right?
Yeah, no, but you know the interesting thing about them is that some of them are very old recipes, and they cook very simply back, 50 years ago. So the basic is there, but it so works into our time frame because you can tweak it to your family's taste because they're so simple. But everybody that has tried them has just said there's terrific recipes in there. They love them, so I'm excited.
Well, I guess now, why would those on the other side want to pass on recipes to people?
Okay, my mother-in-law, and I will use my own mother-in-law as an example. And my husband is an only child, and my mother-in-law was a wonderful baker, and Ted, my husband, loved very specific things she baked. Every time I'd ask her for a recipe, she'd leave out one ingredient. And believe it or not, George, some of these women did not cross over because they were so guilty about giving the wrong information to their relatives about their bakery. You know, we have careers now, women. Back then, that was their career, homemaking and washing and ironing and baking and cooking. And they like to keep their recipe secrets. I did a house, and the lady that was in the house, she had two ghosts in her house. So I'm talking to the ghosts, and the lady had just, she was cooking like a meatloaf or something. And again, I made a comment on how good the meatloaf smelled. And this woman says, oh, I have a really good recipe for stew. So the woman that owned the house said, oh, can I have it? So I scribble out this recipe from the ghost. And this woman says, boy, my aunt died so unexpectedly, and she had the best cookie recipe. They were called gumdrop cookies. She says, but nobody has that recipe. The ghost said, well, your aunt didn't cross over. She's still hanging out with her daughter.
Huh.
She went and got the aunt and brought her back over so that this lady could get the gumdrop recipe.
We're going to talk ghost with Marianne Winkowski and, of course, her latest book, Beyond Delicious, which I assume it's out there in the bookstores now, Marianne?
It is. It's Amazon bookstores, yes.
You had fun doing this, too, didn't you?
I did. That's I really did.
Let me read you this email. from someone who doesn't want their name mentioned, but they want some help.
Okay.
So, George, once in a million chance, but it might work. During the months my mother was dying, she tried several times to give me one of her everything fruitcake recipes. I knew this was a last gift, so I didn't remember the recipe because that would confirm the fact that Mom was dying, and I just didn't want to go there. Is it possible that Marianne can help obtain this recipe? My mother's name was Opal Emerson. She died in Baton Rouge in 1995. And I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I cannot call a ghost. I don't know how to do that. And hopefully her mother has crossed over. And it is probably actually bothering her mother that she really does not have the recipe. So it's like we've talked about it before. You can get all kinds of information from your relatives and friends that have passed over in a dream. The next time she dreams of her mother, say, Mom, what is the recipe? And you can talk to anybody in a dream, just like we're talking right now. People just don't realize that. But she can get the recipe herself.
And you have to be ready to do that, I guess. You open yourself up.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
What's new in the world of ghosts, Marianne? What are you working on? The last time we talked to you, you were hinting that you might move to California to do some projects. What's going on there?
Well, unfortunately, the condo still hasn't sold. So we're still in limbo.
That's in Ohio, right?
Yes, and the economy, you know.
It's tough.
Well, you know, it is. It's very hard. But, we're working on stuff. But again, even the economy is hitting television, too. You know, nobody's really going out there and doing a whole lot of real new stuff now.
So. No, they're really tightening. And if anything, they're just playing around with these little reality shows because they're cheaper to produce.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. So, now, the interesting thing that I have found in the past 6 months, are you aware of what a portal is?
Well, my definition of a portal would be some kind of an opening to another dimension or to someplace.
Gotcha.
How is that? Pretty good?
Pretty good. You bet it is.
Right.
And a portal is an energy opening. And earthbound spirits can come in and out of a portal also. Most of the ones that I deal with come right through the patio door, the front door, the back door, the garage door. The door does not have to be open, but they still use a doorway.
They're invited, they feel, huh?
Exactly. Now, earthbound spirits that use portals, however, they have a little bit of an attitude. They are not the nice, sweet lady ghost that walks in through the front door. Ghosts that use portals were either murdered, suicide, they were in gangs, they were drug addicts or alcohol addicts, pedophiles, rapists. This is the kind of earthbound spirit that comes in and out of a portal. And they're scary. Because they can cause a lot of problems in people's houses.
They sure can. Well, the movie Poltergeist, they were coming down out of the ceiling. That was a portal, right?
Yes, it was. And the one good thing that was actually very accurate in that is portals are not opened by people that are dead. Portals are blown open by live people. If you buy a house that somebody was murdered in or committed suicide, good chances are there's probably a portal somewhere in that house.
I'm not sure I would buy that house if I knew about it.
Well, it's law. They're supposed to disclose that, but unfortunately, that sort of gets slipped through the cracks sometimes.
Well, and, you know, they can always say, gosh, we didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Find the oldest neighbor on the street. You'll get all the scoop.
Yep, that's true.
But portals, if there's a nasty divorce in the house, if you have somebody in the house that does have some kind of drug addiction or is violent, portals can be blown open that way. Now, there's actually an upside to it.
I was going to say, anything good about this?
Yeah, there actually is. When the sweet old lady walks in through the front door, the patio door, she can stay for weeks, months, or years. When an earthbound spirit with these attitudes use a portal, they only pop in for a day or two at the most.
Why?
It's too hard. They need more of the energy that's inside of that portal than that is on the outside of it. So if they really like your house, they'll stay away for 3 or 4 days and then pop back in for 2 days. So you may get the same one over and over again, but they're not there 24/7.
Are they mischief makers or are they demonic and evil?
They are evil. They truly are. They can do well. They have evil-like qualities.
And intention?
Yes. Divorces. I had one that the lady called me up. She goes, why is my son not having his pajamas on in the morning?
Jeez.
Yeah.
That is evil.
Not good.
It's sick.
Very sick. And these are the kind that come in and out. And when I went to her house, he had died in prison because
he was a pedophile.
Yes, he was.
You still doing work with law enforcement?
I am. When I'm available and I'm in town and they call me, yes, I do go.
I can't believe the amount of missing person stories that are in the news lately.
Yes.
People who just vanish, disappear, no doubt they've been abducted or something horrible has happened to them by wackos and sickos that are out there.
Yes, and that's exactly right.
Do these people just, like, roam the countryside?
I don't know what happens to them. And the thing is this, I read the newspaper like everybody else, and I see this, and I keep my fingers crossed. It's like, geez, I hope that family in Arizona calls me. I hope those people in Texas call me. I don't just call people. They have to call me. But of course, there's here's your downside to this. If they call me looking for somebody that is missing, and I see their spirit standing in that room, that means they're dead. That might be a couple of reasons or a reason why they don't call me, because if I tell them that, there's no hope.
You sent us a few months ago something for me to experiment with, mugwort. I wanted to tell you a little report on that.
Oh, cool.
First of all, I was heading for St. Louis, and you sent me this green little bag of stuff. And I was thinking of just putting it in my suitcase, and then, you know, I don't check. I just carry on, and I put it up there in the overhead. Mm-hmm. And I was going to just take it and go to St. Louis. And something told me, Marianne, George, no matter what you say this is, what label may be on the outside of this little plastic bag, they aren't going to believe you. Do not take this thing with you. So I left it in L.A.
Okay.
And when I came back, I did not put it in my pillow sheet case, but I put it right next to my head.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, as long as it's somewhere in the vicinity of your head, yes.
What I am finding is that the dreams are a little more rememberable, more intense. They're not strange. They're not wacky, but I seem to be able to vividly remember them a little better than before. Now, I don't believe in coincidences, so something's going on here.
Well, and because you are a person that remembered your dreams anyway, now they're just in Technicolor.
Yeah.
They're brighter. People that don't remember dreams at all, this will help them remember their dreams. Because everybody dreams. It's whether you remember them or not.
Tell me about the mugwort. What is it, and how does it work?
It's an herb that apparently, and I think Native American Indians actually probably found that was one of the things that mugwort was good for. In my little dream bags, there's also stuff in there to help promote sleep and relax people, because a lot of people, you know, do have problems falling asleep. So mine, you know, is just a little bit different.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Greg Bishop, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.